Hello, and welcome to Herbs, Acupuncture, and Everything Else, the bi-weekly podcast where we discuss alternative medicine, herbs, acupuncture, different modalities, and the things that are on our minds. I'm Emma, the herbalist, and this is...
Sandy, the naturopath.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, so before we get into all the fun stuff, maybe we should talk a little bit about who we are and where we've came from.
Right. My name is Sandy, and I've been a naturopath for about a year now. I went to McMaster University for life science first, and then afterwards I went to Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto.
Awesome. And do you focus your practice on anything at the moment?
So based on the clinic that I'm at right now, I see patients primarily for pain management and mental wellness, so a lot of stress and anxiety.
Nice. Perfect. And did I hear that you also went to China?
Yes, I did, about 2 years ago.
That's amazing. So did you learn a lot about Chinese medicine there too?
Yep, and a lot of acupuncture for stroke recovery.
Nice. I mean, we'll get into that a lot over the next couple weeks, but I just thought it was something really cool about you that I wanted to share.
And now about you, Emma.
Yeah. So I'm a herbalist at the moment. I just finished a three-year diploma program at the Institute of Traditional Medicine in clinical herbal medicine. And that was really a lot of fun. So then I decided to go back for acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine. So I started there in May. And so I'll be there for another 2 years. So that's a lot of fun to kind of bridge those two worlds together. I've also done a couple different herbal internships with a couple different herbalists in the community and learned kind of the different ways to practice and focus. But right now I work making medicine for different practitioners and patients.
Great.
So I guess before we start getting into the rest of the episode, maybe we should just define some terms a little bit. Sandy, can you tell us a little bit about what naturopathic medicine is and what it includes?
Sure. So naturopathic medicine involves the combination of various natural therapies, and we focus on finding the root cause and treating that rather than just symptoms. So modalities include acupuncture, herbal medicine, homeopathy, physical medicine, nutritional counseling, and lifestyle recommendations as well.
Nice. Can you clarify on what physical medicine looks like?
Yeah, so we do learn how to do manipulations, like chiropractors, but definitely not as skilled as them, as they've done school for 4 years for that. But we do know the basics.
Very cool. So naturopaths are kind of like a jack of all trades in a lot of different modalities.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Exactly.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Rad.
All right. Okay, Emma, why don't you tell us about herbalism?
Herbalism's pretty cool. I'm a fan. Herbalism is kind of hard to define because I think it's been a lot of different things to a lot of different people and cultures throughout history. But it's kind of the specialized study of herbalism. It's the specific study of plants and how they relate to health and wellness and treating illnesses, but it's specifically centered around plants and their constituents and how you can apply them in different ways. So we make a lot of different kinds of products. We can do tinctures, teas, salves, creams. So as opposed to a naturopath that gets a lot of different scopes of study, we're a little bit more specialized in that we just really focus on herbs for 2 to 3 years. There are so many different kinds of herbalists out there. You can be clinical, you can be more of a folk herbalist, meaning you function more within your community. You're treating more like low grade, everyday ailments. You can be more of a kitchen herbalist. And then there's traditional Chinese medicine, which incorporates herbs, but is kind of its own thing. So there are a lot of different things. So I practice mostly clinical herbalism at the moment, as we logged a lot of clinical hours, in my training, but, who knows? Where I'll go.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and I think there's a big focus in herbal medicine as well with education and teaching people how to identify plants in their own communities and how to self-empower to make their own medicine and to heal themselves, which I think is probably a common theme in naturopathic medicine as well, patient empowerment.
Mm-hmm. And that's why like the herb walks that you do, Emma, are really, I guess, educational and beneficial for other people.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. I feel like a lot of the herb walks herbalics in general are just, I feel like they're more of a reminder of what we used to know and an acknowledgement of especially the like indigenous knowledge that is here, the indigenous plant knowledge and the indigenous plants to this region, and just getting to know them and their medicine. Yeah. So I think the next question that I would have is, where can different alternative medicines fit into your daily life? Because I think the life that we live right now, a lot of us, it's very fast-paced, it's very stressful, and we often feel like we don't have the time or the means to take care of ourselves in a good way. So I guess that's my question, is where is alternative medicine appropriate and where is it maybe not appropriate? Is it ever not appropriate?
Mm-hmm. So with alternative medicine, I believe that although it might be effective for some acute conditions, it's definitely more beneficial for chronic conditions, non-emergent situations. And it's really good for promoting self-healing and prevention of disease.
Yeah, and what are chronic conditions?
Conditions that you may have had for a long time, such as like cardiovascular conditions, like hypertension, mm-hmm. Diabetes.
Yeah, something like chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, like things like that would be considered chronic?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, and I think too, with incorporating this, the self-empowerment aspect, you know, alternative medicine can be something that you go and see a practitioner for, but it can also be something that you do for you. And that, you know, alternative medicine practitioners can be teachers to help you empower yourself and find ways to take care of yourself at home and find practitioners that really know how to work with you and your schedule. Because I think that's kind of the nice part about alternative medicine practitioners. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think we try really hard to fit into your life in a good way. And, mm-hmm. and the medicine fits into your life in a good way.
Right.
Yeah. Like whatever can work for you at that moment in time, whether that's a 30-minute massage or a consult with a naturopathic doctor, or whether that's, you know, going out and sitting in nature for 45 minutes or 20 minutes or 10 minutes a day, or, you know, making your own chamomile tea from the garden. Like it can look like a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's definitely a collaborative approach, mm-hmm. and because you have to consider compliance, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's doable for you. Yeah, definitely. And I think too, what Sandy said about there is a line, like not everything is under the realm of alternative medicine, but I think, like Dr. Sandy said, the collaborative approach, especially with chronic issues, can be really helpful. So I think if you can get the different practitioners in your life to talk to each other, mm-hmm. that's also amazing. Just so you feel taken care of and everyone's communicating with each other.
For sure. All right, so the next question that we have here is it good to mix different modalities together? Emma, what's your take? Especially since you're studying
two different modalities together. Yeah, and I think it's important too to clarify if people don't understand what we mean by modalities. So we mean the different kind of hats that alternative medicine can wear. Because I think alternative medicine is anything that isn't what your family doctor or a hospital would provide for you. Is that, right. that fair? I feel like that's pretty fair.
At least in Ontario.
At least in Ontario, yeah. Because there are some places, like when Dr. Sandy and I were talking earlier about her internship in China, if you want to mention that really quickly.
Yeah, so at the hospital that we were placed at, the doctors there knew both pharmaceuticals and acupuncture and herbs. They knew everything. And so they always had a treatment plan that combined everything that worked for the patient.
Yeah, which is super special. I wish we could have that in Ontario where we are right now, but maybe someday.
Yeah, yeah. I think one day we'll have a more integrated healthcare system, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's super cool. But yeah, so I think, is it good to mix different modalities together? I would say to a certain extent, yes. But you do, I think communication is important because I've also seen while studying herbalism, more Western herbalism and Chinese medicine, that there are sometimes miscommunication or like gaps because at least the Chinese form of diagnosis is very different than Western diagnosis. So sometimes there'll be almost conflicting diagnoses or conflicting treatments that a practitioner might want you to do. So I think in that sense, making sure that you have communication between your practitioners and that you do what feels right for you. Because I don't think if you don't want to mix modalities, you shouldn't feel like you have to do everything.
For sure.
Right?
And like we said before, patient compliance is a big thing. So as long as your patient is on the same page as you and agrees with your treatment plan, then
mm-hmm.
that's also something important to consider.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. And I think a big part of this podcast too is providing information on alternative medicine. So if anyone is looking for different practitioners or different modalities, or if anyone is interested in learning more about, you know, herbalism, acupuncture, things like that, they can do that here and kind of find their own, you know, likes and dislikes and things that work for them. But yeah, I do think especially having a general practitioner, a GP, a family doctor is important. Just to have just a primary care physician that can run those tests or that can, you know, perform surgeries or write prescriptions, those things that you kind of want in your life just in case, but also having a good alternative medicine practitioner or practitioners to kind of see you through the other things like Sandy was talking about, chronic conditions or just maintenance level healthcare that sometimes is left behind.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so the next question we have here is, why is self-care important and how can it improve your health?
Yeah, I feel like self-care is a thing that's thrown around a lot, yeah. like trending almost
mm-hmm.
on social media. But what is it when we look at it from this lens of alternative medicine and healing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think even from a practitioner point of view, self-care is really important because you can't treat others if you're not taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about like practicing what you preach, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure, because practitioners will often forget to do their own self-care.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think self-care in terms of medicine is good because I think a lot of the times, at least in our current society, we go to the doctor when we feel sick, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But we sometimes go when we've ignored our body's signals to take care of ourselves for a long time, and then we go and we get that medicine or we get that surgery or we get that diagnosis, but your body has been telling you things maybe for a while, but you've been so busy or so, you know, stressed out that you haven't had time to kind of listen to what your body might be asking of you, right. Whether that's to go sit in nature, whether that's to change your diet, whether that's to lie down and have a massage or just talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't have to wait until you're sick to start caring for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that seeing an alternative medicine practitioner can be self-care. I think learning alternative medicine to practice at home can be self-care. I think, yeah, even just listening to a podcast can be self-care. Like, they can look like lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it can definitely improve your health. In a lot of ways. Like when I started studying herbal medicine, I came from it because I was getting sick a lot and I was going to the doctor a lot and getting antibiotics, and I didn't understand why I kept getting sick, and I was sick of going to the doctor to get pills and then get sick again. You know, so it was for me learning how to make medicines at home and learning how to ask for help from other practitioners and deciding that learning herbalism was a path for me, that was all self-care, so that I could feel more empowered that way and feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What does self-care look like for you?
For me, it's, I guess, just taking time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the schedule I have, I'm always surrounded by other people or seeing patients, and I never really have time for myself, whether it's to like read a book or to like listen to music or, yeah, just do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. And sometimes you're making podcasts and you want to be outside or something. Yeah.
Well, the next one can be done outside.
Yeah, we could. We've got some time. But yeah, again, so I think really trying to focus on what your body is saying. Maybe my book recommendation for the week will be a Gabor Mate book called When the Body Says No. That's my random book recommendation. It's really lovely, and it's written by a doctor. He's an MD medical doctor from Vancouver, but he also specializes in using lots of different alternative medicine techniques to treat chronic autoimmune issues, PTSD, mm-hmm. and psychological trauma as well. I think he's also a psychotherapist, but he makes some really good points in how to listen to your body mm-hmm. before you feel like you've waited too long or you're in, you know, a dangerous situation.
Right.
Yeah. Do you have a book recommendation of the week off the top of your head?
No, honestly, no.
That's okay. That's okay.
I know I talked about self-care just then, but I haven't read a book in a while.
That's okay. Dr. Sandy's currently studying for a big exam, so the book you would recommend would be your textbook. Fair enough. So Sandy, to end the initial episode of Herbs, Acupuncture, and Everything Else, we wanted to touch on kind of our favorite modalities, like our favorite things about alternative medicine, and what we might be talking about in the later episodes.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of favorite modalities to use with patients, I would say acupuncture, herbal medicine, sometimes some supplements if necessary,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of lifestyle modifications.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of modalities for my own self-care, I do like receiving cupping and gua sha,
mm-hmm.
Either bi-weekly or monthly, depending how I feel.
Yeah.
What about you, Emma?
Oh my gosh. I feel like if we can, I would love to chat about different kind of herbal medicines for different things. Herbs for stress, I think, is really important for people to know about. Herbs for mental health is important for people to know about. Herbs for transitioning into different seasons, like cold and flu, some really simple seasonal herbs to know about. But like Sandy said, I think also acupuncture has a lot of interesting elements to it, and Chinese medicine is just like, you could go down that rabbit hole forever, and every week I'm learning new things and I'm going to want to chat about it probably. And I think we're also going to try to bring in different people that know more than we do about things that we don't know about, you know, because as much as I love massage, I don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still learning about cupping and gua sha, so it might be good to get lots of different perspectives on different things, you know, and different methods of herbalism. Ayurveda is another one that I don't know a lot about.
Me neither.
But I know some people love it. Nutrition as well, you know, we both study nutrition in school, but a nutritionist has a whole nother take. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so if there's any questions that anyone has, you can always ask them on Instagram or anything like that, email, anything like that. Our email is... So our email, if you wanted to ask any questions, is herbsandacupodcast@gmail.com. So just write in any episode suggestions, things you want to know about, and we will make those about every 2 weeks or so. And I believe it's going to be on iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud and all those good places.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for tuning in to the first episode of Herbs, Acupuncture, and Everything Else. We'll be up with another one in 2 weeks' time. For now, have a lovely rest of the day. I'm still your host, Emma the Herbalist.
And I'm Sandy the Naturopath.
Okay, stay healthy and happy.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.